Thank you for tuning in to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us at our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to a message inspired by God.
Good evening. You know what? Pastor asked me here a couple weeks ago to preach tonight, and I was excited because I already had a sermon ready. This is not that sermon. I've had a couple sermons that I've kind of been holding, you know, back in the pocket just in case, kind of as a backup. But I had that one. I was like, got it under control. I'm already God. I'm good to go. And then this week happened. Actually, last week happened, and I was thinking, you know, that the sermon that I had, it's good. You guys may hear it here soon. But God just kept nudging me in a different direction that wasn't what I wanted, what he wanted me to say tonight. And then Tuesday, one of my associates, a guy that works down in Southern Ohio, his father passed away. And so me and my father-in-law got in the vehicle Tuesday afternoon and drove down to Sugar Creek, Ohio, and came back. And so we had 6 hours in the car of just talking, which that's always good. And he's been going through a men's Bible study at his church where they're memorizing scripture. And one of the scriptures that he was, because he kept saying it over and over, he's trying to memorize these. And so, you know, for two of the 6 hours, he was just saying scripture over and over. And I was like, hey, this is good. I'm good with this. And so one of the scriptures that he kept saying over and over is where the sermon is from tonight. So in the last 2 days, God gave me this message, and I think it must be for tonight. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and we're going to look at the first two verses of Hebrews 12. Let's read right there in verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word and how it always speaks to us, how it's always fresh and new, how it's always relevant for where we are and what's happening in our life, Lord. I just pray a blessing on this word tonight, Lord, that you would speak through me, make it more than what I am, because, Lord, your word is greater than that. And, Lord, let it fall on prepared soil, on good soil, ready to take root and to blossom and bloom and bear fruit. Lord, use your word to grow people and to bring people to the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, whenever I was in college, in Bible college, one of my professors used to always say, whenever you got to therefore, what's therefore, right? And my Sunday school classes heard that. When I get to a therefore in the Bible, we look to where what that therefore is there for. So if you back up to Hebrews chapter 11, anybody know what Hebrews chapter 11 is? Faith chapter. He's talking about those that have gone before us who by faith did great things for the Lord, right? So the therefore, in chapter 11, he's talking to the church, the Hebrew church, the people, those Jews that were converting, and he's talking to them and saying, look at the heritage we have that has come before us. These great men and women of faith that have stood by faith and done great things for the Lord. So therefore, because of what has happened before us, this great line, this great lineage that we have, this great example that has been set for us, therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, therefore, the message, I like how it says it. It says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. Isn't that a great picture? These veterans cheering us on. They've been there. They've done it. And they're cheering us on. This great cloud of witnesses. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. You know what it says? It says, let us also. So guess what they did? They set aside the sin so that it easily entangled them, right? They knew that if they were going to run the race, they had to get prepared. Who likes to watch the Olympics? Anybody? I love watching the Olympics because I can't do that. I'm not a runner. I'm not an athlete. But I love watching the Olympics. And you know what they do? Whenever you see these long-distance runners, and, you know, they're all covered. You see them come to the track and they're all covered up. You know, they've got sweatshirts and sweatpants and coats on. And, you know, Allison and Andrew have been running cross country. In fact, they had a cross country meet tonight over in Gibsonburg. That's why Jennifer was like, zoomed in here and sat down. But at these cross country meets, you see these long distance runners and they're all bundled up. But whenever they're ready to race, they take all of that off. They take it down to the bare essentials. You know, they may have these little shorts on and a sleeveless shirt, you know. They get down to the bare minimum. Or you see some of these distance runners that they have the suits that are, you know, skin tight, and they cover everything up to get streamlined. They're prepared. They've laid off everything else. Everything that's going to hold them back, everything that's going to cost them time, everything that's going to cause wind resistance on them, off of their body, they're taking it off because they want to run as fast as they can in the shortest amount of time. So just like the veterans who have come before us that are cheering us on, let's also get prepared. Let's take off this sin, these things that are holding us back, these things that are holding us down, these things that are making us, making our times worse, the things that are making our Christian walk worse, that we can't do what we need to do because we've got these things holding us back. I've always heard my one professor in college used to always say, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. The wages of sin is death. Sin will kill you. Sin is going to hold you back. Sin is going to weigh you down. Sin is going to keep you from doing the things that you need to do for the Lord. So let's lay them off. Get them off of us. Throw them away. Get them behind us. I heard this illustration. This guy was talking about how he was learning to fly a hot air balloon. And I've always wanted to go up in one. I think they are the coolest thing to see these, especially at night. Down in Findlay, they've got a big festival. It's in the summertime, isn't it? And you see these hot air balloons. They light them up at night. That's beautiful. I mean, there's not much anything more beautiful than that. But, you know, he said, as I was learning to fly a hot air balloon, whenever you want to go up, there's these bags of sand all the way around the gondola, you know, this basket that the balloon is held to. There's bags of sand that hold it down so it doesn't go anywhere. He said, when you want to go up, when you're ready to go, you got to let the sand off. You got to lose the weight. You've got to get rid of the thing that's holding you down so that you can go up. In our lives, we've got to get rid of the weight. We've got to get rid of the extra stuff that's holding us back so that we can go up. Dropping the weight to take flight. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witness surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. They're rooting us on. It's time to get ready. Get rid of the stuff so that we can run the race. Get rid of the sin that's going to take us where we don't want to go. Get rid of the sin that's going to hold us back from doing what God wants us to do. Get ready, get prepared, and get ready to run. Let us run with endurance. Endurance doesn't mean from here to the back of the sanctuary. I played football, and we ran from here to the back of the sanctuary. Lots of times. But that's as far as we ran. I never understood these people that like to run miles. My wife likes to run 5Ks, and my kids are running cross country. I think there is something wired wrong in their brain. It doesn't make sense to me. But that's an endurance race. It's not something that's a flash in the pan. It's something that's going to keep going. You know, you think about, I'm a big indie race watcher. I grew up just a few blocks away from A.J. Foyt's garage in Houston. And we'd go over and see him, you know, test the engines. Rah! You know, this big old loud sound in the middle of the afternoon. And I always, you know, Sunday was to come home and to watch A.J. race. And what's the pinnacle of IndyCar racing? Make a left turn. The Indy 500, you know, right down the road here. You know, Memorial Day weekend, you come back from church, and it's probably already started. If you know, churches I've gone to, it's already started by the time I get home from church. But you sit there, and you watch this race for hours. For hours, they just make a left turn, keep going. You know, these guys are not, you don't see guys built like me in an Indy car, right? They're athletes. They've prepared. They get the weight down so they can go fast. And then they run for hours and hours and hours to finish the race. We need to run with endurance. You know, it's like a marathon, you know? What is, it's 26.2 miles. That's from here to what? Napoleon? Down 24 here to Napoleon. You know, that's a distance. In the car, you know, that takes me 30 minutes. On foot, that take me to the hospital. It's true. It's an endurance race. It's going to take time. You know, marathon runners, they don't just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to run a marathon and go run a marathon. They train. They start out with running a mile. Then they run 2 miles. Then they run 2 miles again, and then they run 2 miles again, and then they get up to 3 miles, and they run 3 miles, and they run 3 miles for several weeks, and then they run up to 5 miles, and then maybe they run that for 2 or 3 weeks, and then they run 6 or 7 miles, and they do that for a month. You know, it's a 6 month, 8 month, 9 month training ritual regimen to get prepared to run a marathon. It's not something that you just wake up and do. We have to get prepared. We have to get rid of the sin, that weight that's holding us back, right? And in that preparation, you know, a lot of people, they lose a lot of weight because they're running a lot. But you know what? That lost weight lets them get to the end of the race. They've prepared. Let us run the race with endurance. Keep on going. You know, endurance means to keep going. And when it gets hard, you know, they talk about marathon runners that by, you know, the mile 18 or so, they call it hitting the wall, where they feel like they can't go anymore, that they're out of breath, they just can't make it anymore. And they call it hitting the wall. And then, you know what they do? They keep going. They run through that wall. They keep going with endurance to finish the race. Sometimes in our faith, we hit a wall. We hit trouble. We hit things that are in our way from doing what God wants us to do. And you know what we do? We keep running. We run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, all we have to do is run. The track is already set. We know which way to go. This race has been set before us. It's not a mystery race. It's been set before us. Run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. The message says, for verse 4, it says, keep your eyes on Jesus. He both began and finished the race we're in. The author and perfecter of our faith. He began and finished the race we're in. You know, whenever you're running a race, you need to talk to somebody who's done it, right? You want to, whenever you're trying to learn to do something, you know, my dad was a carpenter, and I learned to do carpentry by talking to my dad, to being around my dad, to seeing how he did things, how he put things together. We look to somebody who's done the things that we want to do. This Christian life has already been finished perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Heard a story about a man who told about it. He had a dog when he was a boy. His father would occasionally test the dog's obedience. He'd take a couple pieces of steak and he'd set them out on the floor and he'd tell the dog no. The dog, who must have had the strongest urges to go for that meat, was placed in the most difficult situation to obey or to disobey the master's commands. The man said the dog never looked at the meat. He seemed to feel that if he did, the temptation to disobey would be too great. So he looked steadily at my father in the face. He knew that if he looked at the meat, it was all over. Can you say amen to that? Look at the meat, it's all over. If we look at the master's face, if we fix our eyes on Jesus, yeah, you know what? The temptations are going to come. The pitfalls are going to come. The trials are going to come. But if we keep our face planted on Jesus, if we keep our focus on him, the temptation's not going to be so great, because he's already made it through without sin. He knows the way. Are you battling temptation? Are you facing a fight? Keep your eyes on Jesus. He will give you the victory. No matter what we go through, the victory is in him, right? Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. The only way to overcome temptation that we face is to focus on the Lord, who strengthens us by his grace. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the one who has both began and finished the race we're in. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. You know, as I was reading this and as my father-in-law was saying this verse over and over in the car on Tuesday, going down to Sugar Creek and back, I noticed two things. There is a race set before us, and there is joy set before him. The race set before us and the joy set before him. We hear a lot about the trials of Jesus. We hear about the struggles of Jesus. But this says the joy set before him. What's that joy? The knowledge of the end of the race. The knowledge of the salvation of his people. The knowledge of the salvation of you and me. The knowledge that what he was going through was not the end. The knowledge that this race that he was on, this joy that was set before him, was the joy everlasting, the eternal grace for everyone. It wasn't a struggle for him because he knew the end of the story. He knew who won. He was joyful in going through it because he knew his purpose. Now, that doesn't mean in his humanness that it didn't hurt. It doesn't mean in his humanness that he didn't want out. You know, he said, "Father, if there's any other way, you know, pass this cup from me. I'm ready to get out of here, Dad." The heat, the frying pan's hot. Let's do something else. But he knew the joy set before him. You know, it's like our kids. We do hard things to provide for our children. I haven't, you know, there's very few people that if they had the choice to go to work or to stay home, if money was no object, very few people that I know would go to work. There's a few. But we go to work. We do the toiling. We do the hard things. We make sacrifices to provide for our children, to provide for our families. Jesus did the hard thing. He did the right thing to provide for us. He has been there. He's already finished the race. He's already finished the story. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but that is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will provide a way of escape, also so that you will be able to endure it." Endurance. So you can endure it. If you keep your eye on Jesus, he's going to show you the way of escape. If we run with our eyes on him, he's going to show us the way out when temptation comes. Once again in the message, it says, study how he did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. That's where he was headed. He put up with anything along the way, the cross, shame, whatever, because he knew where he was going. Therefore, Since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher, perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He finished. He finished, come through the finish line and sat down at the right hand of God. He knew where he was going. You know, as I've never seen it this way, but this week as I was reading this, and I thought, he's sitting at the right hand of God. That cloud of witnesses. He's up there cheering us on. He's saying, you can do it. You know, he's like that dad in the stands saying, you can do it. You can finish. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. You fall down, get up. You can keep going. He's our biggest cheerleader. As I was looking at this, I came across a story, and I had remembered seeing it a couple years ago on the ESPN's 100 Best Sports Moments of All Time. In 1992, in the Olympics, a man named Derek Redmond was a long-distance runner for Great Britain. In the middle of the race, he tore a hamstring. What a picture. Now we're running the race. And something happens. We're hurt. We're destroyed. We can't go on. And the Father comes down. He picks us up. He carries us to the end. You know, something wasn't in this video. I couldn't find the video of the end. But before he crossed the finish line, his Father let go. And he finished the race. And 65,000 people in that stadium that day cheered and stood. He wants us to finish the race. He's going to pick us up. He's going to carry us through. And then when we reach the finish, all of heaven will rejoice. As we can stand before him and he can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't know about you, but that's where I want to stand. Before him someday, and hear those words, well done. I've finished the race. I've endured adversity. I've laid off the things that are going to keep me from running. I'm going to keep my eye on him. Study how he's done it. Look to him. And run to that finish where he's seated at the right hand of God. The message finishes up that section and says, and now he's there in the place of honor right beside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your soul. See what he's done for us. And we can keep going because he's already won. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, it is so encouraging, so humbling. Lord, we want to follow you. We want to run a good race. We want to run with endurance. We want to follow you. We want to finish strong. Lord, there are many people around us that do not know you. Lord, they're drowning in sin and despair. But you have given us hope. You have given us a way out. You have laid before us a race that if we just look to you, the things of this world will just fade away. And we can run a race that will show others the way to you. Lord, I pray tonight as we close the service that Lord, you will inspire us, that you will challenge us in our souls to run that race for you. Lord, to not get entangled, but to keep our eyes on you and finish. Run to the arms of our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, please contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us on our website, heritagechurchofgod.org. This has been a production of Heritage Outreach Ministries.